Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor, and Michael Vlass is here. We're Gaius and Germanicus debating lessons of the empire. We're in the first century AD. We see the success of the institution established by Augustus. And we see ahead of us is a good century of conquest and consolidation. And ahead of us is 1,500 years of empire. The Americans are maybe a century into their empire, if we're generous with the timeline. And they don't seem to be determined to follow rules of the empire, which is that the emperor, the king, has the power of making decisions that you can't reject. This is not about government. This is about who's in charge at the time. The president has a great deal of power. Recently, I interviewed an author of a new book called Angelica. It's the story of Angelica Schuyler, the eldest daughter of Philip Schuyler of Albany, first senator from New York. This is the revolutionary time before and after. And the so-called Democrats of the Founding Fathers, women could not vote. Angelica could not vote. Her daughters could not vote. Her granddaughters could not vote. Her great-granddaughters could not vote. I mention this because it wasn't not mentioned at the time. Hey, what is this democracy? The women objected, but there was no role for them. Of course, people who were enslaved objected, but there was no role for them. Of course, Native Americans objected. There was no role for them. Okay, that was democracy. It's evolved today, and you could say, well, is it successful? Not recently. The democracy in Russia is not regarded as sincere. Democracies across Europe are scattered between parties. The democracy in America is under extreme pressure right now. There's even talk from the opposition that Mr. Trump will not run, will not follow the precedent and leave office. There's even talk that Mr. Trump means to in some fashion destroy the vote in 26, either by cooking the books or banning mail-in, something like this. There's a lot of anxiety. So I come to this, Germanicus. The president has a great deal of power. That's the way it was drawn up in the revolutionary time. They went from the Confederacy, which was no power, Articles of Confederation, to the Constitution. They noticed at the time, certainly Adams and Madison noticed, that the president had more power than they felt comfortable with. But what could they do about it? He wasn't a king. There was going to be conversation in the cabinet, and they could influence him. They thought. Here we are, 240 years later, 250 years later. The president has a great deal of power, Germanicus. And is America aware of the fact that it likes it that way?
Well, if their man is the emperor, they love it, as witness the outpourings of unrestrained, unbridled emotion at a Trump rally. I think part of the problem with the construction of the early republic, including the building of the Constitution, is that there was one commanding figure who also, unlike the rest of recorded history, happened to be a man of absolute integrity and who lived by principles. And I'm at a loss to think of such a man in either our history or almost any others, perhaps Marcus Aurelius. And he was the commander-in-chief who laid down his baton, in effect, and resigned. And that was considered across Europe to be the greatest act of the age. And I think, therefore, that in crafting the Constitution, the founders or framers felt more comfortable because Washington was there. They trusted him, and they felt that he would be a model for future presidents. And the fact that he was such a towering figure in a Republican system did have the, I wouldn't call it serendipitous, but not negative effect of presidential power being dependent on the charisma and personal capability of the president. Because most of the American presidents up until, several exceptions like Lincoln and Teddy Roosevelt and FDR, many presidents were not towering imperial figures. And the first after Washington was a man who did not have all of Washington's qualities, Andrew Jackson. And yet the next president who had the kind of command and inspired the kind of fierce loyalty that Andrew Jackson did was Lincoln. And that came out of the trauma of the Civil War. And the next president who was able to marshal that in his person without the dispensation of a great war was Teddy Roosevelt. So I think that this is something that is being put by the side. And this is a concern I have because the Republic cannot be, or the productivity, the stability of a republic cannot stand the emergence of an imperial institution. And an imperial institution is not the same as a strong leader. It is something that is part of the constitutional order, becomes part of it. And once you have a really strong chief executive, a kind of leader figure enshrined within the order, then that becomes, as it were, the order of the day. And you have, by definition, a Republican system that has transformed into an imperial system with Republican institutions and features, but it's not any longer truly a republic.
Let's apply this to our own time. The emperor institution we celebrate. That's why we sacrifice to Augustus every Sunday evening after we finish talking. But the present personality in the office is inadequate. We know this. The Senate knows it. The Roman people, when they're not eating, know it. And yet we endure it.
Mm-hmm.
We know that it's going to be a good choice possibility next time. It will be a momentary choice, Nerva. But we'll get on to Trajan and Hadrian, and there will be good emperors and bad emperors. I think the American people either recognize it or want to recognize that not every president is going to be a success, and that when you get one, you celebrate him. I think Ronald Reagan was a success. At the time, there was lots of contretemps, but now regarded as success. Bill Clinton at the time was regarded as successful, and today it's an open question.
Right.
So my observation, you have a strong emperor, you have him do things that would have been impossible with a weak emperor.
Right.
And you do it as fast as possible because he'll be moving on. And you try to set up tradition. For example, we talked about this earlier. It is now apparent that lawfare is a weapon of choice today in Republican democratic politics around the world. Lawfare works in many instances. It works in other states. you take the law and you twist it so that you're prosecuting a political figure in order to remove him from office because you can't defeat him at the polls. Lawfare now is established as a weapon that both sides can use. That is an institutional decision. My observation is the emperor will out. If you favor the emperor, you're going to be satisfied the way he uses lawfare. If you don't, you're going to feel persecuted. That's the way it is. And I want America to accept it. I think America does accept it, Germanicus. It's very uncomfortable for the opposition.
It is. But I think it does. And it's important to remember that the transition from republic to empire began with FDR and the kinds of powers he was able to institutionalize during the New Deal, but more importantly, with the powers that came with World War II, where he became a generalissimo. And those powers didn't go away after World War II because of the Cold War. And the result has been the emergence of a deep state, which even Rome did not have. Rome had a very small imperial bureaucracy, but the U.S. has a giant and powerful bureaucracy. And so the question isn't whether a president has the kind of charismatic capability like Andrew Jackson or George Washington to get things done and to do things that weaker men could not do, but rather he has this huge apparat behind him, so that even an incredibly weak president like Mr. Biden can still do very dictatorial things. He can still put hundreds of people into solitary confinement for years before they even come to trial because they participated in a riot. This is extraordinary capability, and it happened in large part for these intervening deus ex machina-like situations like the Cold War, and they never went away. And so now we're reaching a point where the president can take the deep state and all of its reach and legal authority and purge his former opponents. Lawfare wasn't around 20, 30, 40 years ago, but it is now essentially institutionalized. The last couple administrations, especially the Biden administration, did this to the hilt, and now it's being done to them. And this is going to create an even more contested and even more predominant imperial system. In other words, we're seeing the leavening or the mitigating other institutions of the republic weaken all the time, like the courts and the Congress.
Germanicus is Makovleos. I am John Batchelor Guys. We're in Londinium. The Centurions were not so engaged tonight until we came to the disturbances in the city. Everybody who lives here in Rome and everybody who lives in Londinium favors order in the streets. Rome has difficulties now and again, but it's a much larger city than Londinium. Our streets are extremely patrolled, extremely safe, which is why it's safe to live in Londinium. If it was the other way, I think that we would find another place to live. And so the centurions are engaging. Yes, they're nodding their heads, and we're drifting on. Germanicus and I are going to sacrifice to Augustus. The theater is still closed. It's summertime, and I think the theater companies are just waiting for the fall season. So this is the Friends of History Debating Society. Thank you for listening. We've been live, as we are every Sunday. Every Sunday at 6 p.m. Thank you.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.